it's Marie.
And Anne.
And this is Garage à Toi. We like to think of this podcast as a little time for ourselves.
And for you.
And for you. On this week's episode, we're talking racial justice, Election Day, November 3rd, and how to get your ass in the game if you haven't already.
That's right. We're also going to talk about what we're up to in our COVID bubbles and share interesting news from this week in the world.
Thanks for joining us for Garage à Toi. Garage à Toi! I'm in his car in the garage because that's like seems to be the best. But it wants to join the Tesla and my AirPods, and I was like, how do I? So I just had to like disconnect completely from the car. Forget this device.
Are you having trouble, or did you just want to tell us all that you have a Tesla?
Oh, it's only the Model 3. It's very affordable.
It's only the Model 3. Tesla. I'm not a hater. Good for you. We were actually just having a conversation around the dinner table last night about Tesla, and I said I really love their mission, but I hate Elon Musk so much that I feel like it would prevent me from buying his vehicles.
Sure, I get that. He's kind of a
although cuckoo, crazy, you know, maybe kinda. That's just not how it works. Henry Ford apparently was a terrible racist, and I guess was very cruel to women. Dax Shepard talks about this on a very early Armchair Expert podcast. Unfortunately, Dax was telling the story in the context of defending Henry Ford.
Ooh, oops.
Which is part of why I don't listen to that podcast very often. Dax's point was, you can't just sort of cancel everybody and anybody, because what would you lose if you were to do that? And my point is, maybe he doesn't need to be terrible and cruel. And think of all the people who might have been able to do what he did, but they were prevented from doing it, from people like Henry Ford. So exactly. That's my controversial opinion for the day.
I can get on board with that.
You're like, look, I'm sitting in my Tesla. I'm trying to get some quiet. Okay, here's my story about Spectrum. Now that I have my ridiculous earbuds, and hopefully you can hear me.
Yes.
Sounds good. All right. I'm not going to call where I live a rural area, but maybe it's semi-rural. We definitely have one bar of cell service through Verizon at all times. So without Wi-Fi, it honestly gets a little scary. We had the Thomas Fire in 2017 that knocked out power, and it ate up a couple cell towers. And without Wi-Fi, it was almost impossible to just even communicate via cell phone. And I realized that's a natural disaster, and that's the most extreme instance, but it was really scary. Yeah. And so I think there's a little bit of animal panic that sets in anytime we don't have Wi-Fi, which is you basically can't use the phone. I can hardly make a phone call. It'll drop. There's a lot that goes on. You and I were trying to record our podcast the other night. I could only hear you maybe half the time and was just sort of guessing what you were saying and hoping that it was lovely and pithy and funny as always. But there are three of us who are working from home right now, and it's just unacceptable. So I had Spectrum come out last week. The guy's name was Andres. He was really lovely. He was very helpful. He climbed the very tall pole across the street and was like, yeah, something had fallen on there. I was explaining that there are a bunch of utilities that share the power poles, but they don't give a shit about each other. So Edison had done some work, had dropped a tree branch on the Spectrum box and had sort of smashed it. Lord. So Andres had speculated that that was the problem. So we thought he fixed it. We went through a couple of days with connectivity. It wasn't dropping. And then it started happening all over again. And there was a lot of yelling. There was a lot of pouting. There's maybe some crying. There's a lot of like sweaty armpits trying to get into Zoom calls.
Oy.
So I bit the bullet and I asked him to come back out. And I said, at the very least, we just need you to relocate the modem. The modem, when we moved in, when life was good, was near the TV, because that's all we ever wanted, was for it to connect via Wi-Fi to our Sony Bravia TV. Mm-hmm. And now that we're home, we're in the opposite side of the house, and I'm not saying that it's a mansion, we're just, you know, there are a couple walls in between, so it was causing problems. And so the second guy, Spectrum, will text you, you know, Andres is on his way. So I'm like, oh, it's the same guy as last week, of course. I'd been running an errand. I pull up, the guys are at 3:00 on the dot, whereas a week ago he'd been an hour and a half late.
Oui.
And he's getting out of the van, and I roll down the window, and I go, hey, like, jokingly, like, here we are again.
Your old buddy.
Yeah, you were so helpful, and yet, here we are again. And as I drive past the van, it is not the same Andres.
Andres.
The guy is giving me this look because he doesn't know that I'm about to pull into the driveway. He just thinks that I am a weird white lady yelling at him from the street. So very I pull friendly. In the driveway. Yeah, and I come back over. Same height, same build, same age. And he's putting his mask on so I can't see his face. And I'm like, wait, is it the same guy? So he walks up and he's like, so what's the problem? What seems to be the problem? And I'm freaking out because I can't tell if it's the guy from last week. And I don't want to be an asshole. So I start using the, like, very weird passive voice. So I'm, like, gesturing to the power pole to be like, is he going to be like, yeah, I climbed that last week. And I'm like, the work on the power pole indicated that Edison had smashed it. And I'm looking at him like, is he going to agree with me? And I go, Andres? And he goes, yeah. But he's saying yeah as if I'm asking his name. And I'm like, okay, so his name is also Andres?
And my luckily, only hire guy's name Andres.
Yeah. And I'm like, this guy's going to think I'm just like the ultimate jerk that like, I think that they're all named Andres or something. So he comes in, he takes a look at it. He agrees to reroute it. He's doing all his work. He's being, like, a little argumentative because we're using Nest Wi-Fi, which is a mesh system, and I chatted with Nest, and they had said that the modem wasn't passing the router the IP address and that I should pass that on to the technician. But when I say that to him, he's kind of arguing with me as if I know what the fuck that means. So I'm like, this is going to be a nightmare. You know, we're all hot and sweaty. It's really hot outside. He's going to be rude. He's not going to help me. And I'm feeling all, like, bad about it. I'm in sort of a spiral. Mm-hmm. Never gonna get to record another podcast. And he comes back in and his like total demeanor has changed, and he's like, so who was here last week? And I go, Andres. he goes yeah, there's two of us. And I go, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I don't know if you heard me yell at you on the street, I thought you were the other guy. And he goes, oh, I heard you yell at me. And I was like, okay. And then from there on, he was super helpful. And so far, we've got internet. So the Spectrum visit was long and a little bit fraught at the beginning. But the Andreses have pulled through. And I am so grateful.
Woo!
That's the longest story about a cable visit you have ever heard or maybe didn't want to hear.
No, I'm so glad they were helpful. Sometimes it can be total...
Yeah, I feel bad because I had this epiphany at the DMV one time, which is I made the mistake of going there without an appointment, and I was waiting for like 4 hours. Ooh. And I got up to the front, and at first I was mad, like, how could you make us wait for this long? You know, you don't seem to have any sort of sense of urgency. But when I got to the front, I realized they're there from 9 to 5. It doesn't really matter to them how many people they serve, because their purpose is not to serve as many as possible. Their purpose is to be there from 9 to 5. And it really kind of freed me from my anger toward them. not that I wanted to be there that long, but to just sort of realize that, you know, not everybody operates on the same set of values, that like the Spectrum guy was there to move the modem. Was he there to help me reinstall the router? Not really. And so I feel like as I've gotten older, I feel like I've sort of been freed from my own sort of aggressive expectations of people, that I want them to want the same thing I want. And the more that I realize that that's just not the case, I feel like it's like adding years onto my life. I don't know. Or my like incredible stress and anger is just going to kill me. So, or COVID. So I have a question for you, Marie.
Okay.
2 weeks ago, we recorded our podcast, and I think a day later, the Honorable Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. You and I tried to record our podcast earlier this week, and I think it was that same night President Trump announced that he has COVID-19.
Yes.
Are we creating some sort of curse situation with our podcast, or is it just 2020? And this is a serious question. Are you not worried about recording this morning in Harry's Tesla in your garage that something bad is going to happen because of us? And that is the key question. Do you think this stuff is happening because of us?
No. I don't want to think that.
Okay.
2020 has been a shit of a year, so it doesn't surprise me that all these things are happening.
Can I tell you what I'm afraid of? I don't think that it's just 2020. I think this keeps going. I think everybody else knows that, and we are all just sort of pretending like 2021 is going to be better. But 2021, that sounds like the distant future. That sounds like Blade Runner status. Like, I don't feel great about that.
Yeah. Someone told me that their neighbors were like already decorating for Christmas, and I'm like, maybe they just want this year to be over.
We decorated for Halloween like 2 weeks ago. We got it all out. We've got the pumpkins, the swags. Yes. Yeah, it's all out. I was like, this is either because we need something to look forward to, or I'm at a point where I just don't care anymore.
No, I think it's something to look forward to. Harry decorated our house too the other day, and all the neighbors stopped by and just tell us how great it looks.
So Harry goes all out for Halloween. I remember the first time I ever came to your guys' house during the Halloween season, it was truly terrifying. No, in a good way. That's a compliment.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Do you want to just describe what people passing by might experience?
There's a couple gravestones in our yard with some skeletons popping out, looking like they're coming from the depths, and a giant spider web with like a man wrapped in web hanging from the spider web, like trapped by the
Oh my god!
Like bloody handprints and footprints near the door. Yeah, we got a lot going
What's
on.
What's the blood? What did he use for the blood?
He found these stickers that just peel and stick.
Oh, amazing.
So there's some on the window, and then we've got some on the porch, like leading out of the house, like someone is bleeding and being chased.
That is amazing.
Oh, yeah. I might have scared my children. They were kind of afraid to go to bed the other night. I was like,
Do they already know what they're going to be for Halloween? Did I already ask you this?
No, they haven't decided this year, but they found their costumes from last year and have been wearing those, so that might just stick, and if it does,
it's What fine. Have they been wearing?
Piper's a ninja, and Lola was like a little vampiress with this little dress with a big popped collar. It's kind of cute, actually.
Piper being a ninja is, I think, the most Piper thing I've ever heard. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like she's got swag.
She does.
She's a little badass.
She's a very confident person. I know.
I don't know where she gets that, Marie. Jump
pipes.
She gets it from her mama. Oh, can you not hear me?
Oh. No, I got it.
I'm so sorry. This is just going to be like a modern recording of us just going back and forth asking if we can hear each other. I feel like, yesterday, October 3rd, we're recording this on Sunday morning, the 4th, and it's a month until the election. So I would love for us to talk about election day and whether or not you have a plan to vote, because that's something that I've been seeing quite a bit. I actually got my ballot yesterday and I held yes. it and I sort of like pressed it to my chest and was like, all right, here we go. This is it. I have always voted absentee. I'll admit it's because when I was growing up, my parents voted absentee. It was just sort of the culture that I was raised in. I've only ever voted in person one time, and it was when I was living in Texas, and they had a polling place on campus. I was in grad school. And the one thing that I got that I had never gotten before in my life was I got a sticker that said I voted. And now yes. they finally figured it out, and I haven't opened the ballot yet because I'm feeling sort of superstitious about it. I'm going to sit down and fill the whole thing out all at once. It promises me that there is a sticker inside, which I'm pretty excited about.
That is exciting. Look at us. I'm getting excited about the stickers.
So have you made a plan to vote? What's your voting situation?
We also do absentee. We've been doing that for the last several years. Yeah. I remember voting in person, like one time. Yeah, but we actually got our ballots yesterday as well, and we sort of put them aside so we can, you know, do some more research, figure out who we like, and then fill it out all at once, like you said.
I feel like it's interesting because I didn't know when I lived in Texas, for example, you have to have some special exception to vote absentee there. You have to be, I think it's over 65, I'm probably getting this wrong, or have like an excuse not to go vote in person, which really blew my mind. And I didn't know it then. I only learned it recently as I've been paying more close attention to the issue of voting. I read Stacey Abrams' book, Our Time Is Now, and it's essentially about the issue of voter suppression, which is what she encountered when she ran for governor of Georgia and lost very narrowly. And you know, across the board, it's essentially widely accepted that she lost because of voter suppression. And as I started to read about the different sort of rules and nuances of how you can vote in different states, I was sort of horrified, because I think if you've had the convenience like we have of voting by mail because we said we wanted to, I've never had to worry about leaving work on election day and getting to a polling place or standing in a line, or, you know, what's going to happen this year is people having to worry about, you know, the health cost of going out and voting. And so I know you have been talking about, I think it's a website. Is it for people to check how to vote or register to vote?
Yes. VoteAmerica.com. You can register there, or it sends you, you know, to links where you can register by your state. I know that California is automatically sending every registered voter a mail-in ballot, which is amazing. So you can also go to that website and check that your information is correct, make sure that your ballot is going to the right place. And you can, in California, you can register by October 19th to get your ballot by mail. We do also have same day registration on election day, November 3rd, but that has to be done in person.
This is good info. This is good to know.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I did a little bit of research.
I'm so proud of you. I applied. Wow, the word wasn't coming to me. Maybe they don't want me. I applied to work as a poll worker. And I
yes.
I didn't want to. My family has been super, super cautious about not going out in public, you know, stay safe, stay home, quarantine, whatever you want to call it, social distancing. And then I had a funny experience, which is, as I said, I live in, I guess I'll call it a semi-rural area. I joke that it's sort of like Priuses and pickup trucks and nothing in between. And my across the street neighbor, and I will say I'm not surprised, just disappointed, put out a Trump 2020 flag on his home. Initially, there was no American flag to accompany it, which I thought was a sort of aggressive move. I'm not sure what the flag code says about just displaying the flag of a presidential campaign. And no other state flag or country flag. And then eventually he put out a U.S. flag plus the Trump flag. And I was like, well, you know, at least he got his head out of his ass to some degree. But he put a Trump flag out maybe, I don't know, time doesn't matter, but a month ago. And I have this moment where I was like, okay, I don't want to go sit in a polling place. There's a reason I vote absentee, which is, like I said, I have never felt like I needed to make the time to be part of the voting experience on election day. But I had this moment where I was like, if it's him or me at that polling place, I want to make sure it's me. Oh. So I have applied to be a poll worker. I read somewhere that they say that they're full, but I also know in Ventura County that you can drop off your ballot starting the Saturday before Election Day. So I'm not sure how they're staffing that. So you might see some selfies from me at a polling place with lots of PPE on my face. But so we'll see.
Good for you, Anne.
Don't say good for me yet. I haven't really done anything. I feel like it's been really weird, and I don't know if you feel this way too, but, you know, we have a lot of unrest happening right now around issues of racial justice, you know, the George Floyd killing this summer, and just the pain that I think has been so unacknowledged for so long, not just in the Black community, but with people of color. And I think that there's a real reckoning happening right now that I hope continues. And I think, you know, as a white lady sitting at home social distancing because I can, because I don't have a job that calls me out to the front lines of whether it's customer service or, you know, actually dealing with people in, you know, health crises or anything like that, I have really struggled with how to show support for what's happening right now from a racial justice standpoint. And I don't know if you feel that way too.
I do. I mean, we have a yard sign that talks about, in this house, we believe Black Lives Matter. Feminism is for everyone. No human being is illegal. Science is real. So it kind of states what we believe, but that's a fucking sign in my yard. Like, I'm not, you know, I haven't been to a protest, even though I'd plan to go, but then get scared by COVID and it's all these things. Yeah.
Well, I feel like, you know, a lot of people have been like, vote, make sure you vote. And I feel like it's more than that. You know, you and I were talking about this the other day, which is it's about voting for candidates who've taken a stance on issues of racial justice. So it's about voting for intersectionality. Yes. You know, I think one of the things that's been the hardest as Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away is, I'm sure we've all seen those, the list. If, you know, you as a woman, if you have the following, and it's this bulleted list, if you have a checking account, if you've, you know, own a home without a man, if you have a credit card that, you know, man didn't have to co-sign, thank Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I look at that and I just see, as we've seen so much with the suffrage movement, that, you know, suffragism was about white women initially, and it took so long to bring people of color into the fold, all the way up until I think it was the 1960s for African-American women. And I think what's hard is when I look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg's legacy, I'm proud of her for what she pioneered, but I feel like, you know, our generation, a generation younger than us, even Gen Z, I feel like it's our responsibility to make that intersectional and, you know, talk about the challenges of communities of color and what they face. But I want to make sure that you and I are doing that through the context of amplifying the names of organizations that are doing it and not just talking about our own concern. So I don't know if there are organizations that you supported. I know I went to a Black Lives Matter march. maybe it was 2 months ago. And it was in Ojai, and we stood on the main street in Ojai, Ojai Avenue. And I've been to quite a few marches, and I've never been to one that was just this emotionally wrought. We were silent the whole time. It wasn't like a lot of marches where you're chanting and there's, you know, drums and people yelling and, you know, honking. This was completely silent. It was the first time I had gone out in public, just general public, not like running into Rite Aid for, you know, Advil kind of thing. And we, you know, everyone had masks on and we had signs, but it was more of a vigil. It was after George Floyd had been killed, and it was really emotional. And I was standing there and I was like, this isn't enough. I can't just come stand on the street, you know, on Ojai Avenue and think that this is enough. So I'd love to hear just any orgs that you supported or would recommend that people look into.
BlackLivesMatter.com. They've got lots of resources and links and other organizations that are doing the hard work there. Oh, I see that you've added some. Oh, do you want to talk about the ones that you?
Yeah, Black Lives Matter added to isn't just a movement. There are three women who founded an organization. And I don't know if you remember this, but over the summer, there was this big controversy because the person who owned the URL was not affiliated with the movement. It was a guy in California, and these three Black women had founded the movement, Black Lives Matter. And so just so everybody knows, we know that, we're aware of that. But if you do go to blacklivesmatter.com, they have actually fixed, I remember going there a few months ago to donate, and it said, this is not a tax write-off. And I remember being like, wait, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And they have fixed that. So now they're processing donations through an organization called ACK Blue, which is supported by the Tides Foundation. So they do have a 501c3 associated with it. So if people were to go to that website, just so everybody knows, we know the dish, we know what happened. And it got fixed. So that's actually, like you said, that's a great website. I remember New York Magazine, I think it was over the summer, published organizations that you can support. And it's a range of organizations. So it's everything from victims funds, actually donating to people who have been affected by racial violence, community restoration. There are political organizations. One that I have been a donor to for a long time is the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. They are more focused around litigation. So they are lawyers who are making sure that people of color, underrepresented populations, etc., are being represented in court. And I think that that's something super important right now, especially as we're going through this confirmation for a new Supreme Court justice. I read this article in The Economist a couple days ago, and it was talking about how the courts in America, you know, The Economist is a British publication, and I always sort of wince when they talk about America, because I'm like, oh, everybody can see it. And they were talking about how, you know, America was really devastated, certain parts of America, I guess, by Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing, and how it's a really bad thing that a judge is a celebrity, and how the idea of politicizing the courts is really dangerous because there's a potential for them to decide things like the outcome of the presidential election, just like they did in the year 2000 with George W. Bush and Al Gore. And this very familiar, you know, Marie, tell me if this sounds familiar. One candidate winning the popular vote and the other candidate being installed either based on what was clearly around the Electoral College or in the year 2000, some hanging chads in Florida. Shudder.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the point of that article was that there should be terms, and they suggested something like an 18-year term.
Yes.
So that when that judge terms out, whoever is in office at that point gets to make that decision, and that was the will of the people. It's not something that's happening before or after an election, right to the last minute. And so I think, you know, with the ACLU, this is not a grassroots effort. These are people who are professionals. These are lawyers, and they're in the courts fighting for racial justice. And then the last one that I had seen is the Women's March is organizing a socially distanced day of action on October 17th. Now, I think that just means a march. I'm using their words because I don't want to put words in their own mouth. But if people are interested, October 17th looks like there's going to be another march. Which I think, you know, could be a good thing. I know I've been really moved by the marches that have happened around the world in solidarity with communities in the U.S. I know the Women's March was one. I went to the one in January of, I guess that was 2017. I went to Washington, yes. D.C. for the march, and it was really moving. It was definitely hard to see all those pink hats and know that there are a lot of white ladies there who didn't do what they needed to do to stand up for people of color. And I hope that's changing.
Me too.
We got to do something.
We got to do something.
Get off your ass and vote. If that's the most you can do, that's the least you can do. Just vote. I feel like it's been hard too,
exactly.
Because, you know, we refer to the, you know, the family home or whatever it is a bubble. But I feel like the term bubble is usually used to refer to an area of unawareness. You know, I'm in such a bubble. I'm in a liberal bubble. I'm in a whatever bubble. And I feel like
there's the bubble.
That word now refers to physical safety. And I'm like, yeah. Oh man, yes, you know, exactly. I feel like we're sort of putting our heads in the sand in a moment where we should be popping them back out. And so I don't know if you have ways that you are taking care of yourself. You know, I know I've certainly drank a lot more wine in the last 6 months of my life than I did in the previous 6 months. But like, what do you do to take care of yourself right now?
This is Wom. I was super excited to get the podcast going again and taking some time for myself since we've all been in the house together for the last 6 months. Going on walks, like long walks, even with the girls. We'll take the dog for a long walk, or I'm still exercising. I've been exercising with my little exercise partner on Zoom. We started on Zoom, and then now we go to our trainer's house because we feel it's just the three of us and we're safe, so
that's great. Do you find that when you exercise, do you get that like endorphin rush at the end? They call it runner's high sometimes. Do you?
That's awesome. Oh, completely. Yeah. It's just a good start to the day. We do it early in the morning, 7 a.m. So it's just like a super awesome start to my Tuesdays.
I envy you because I played sports all the way through high school. I always, you know, I came from a family where my dad was a football coach for 40 years. Like, I definitely always thought of myself as an athlete. And I have never experienced the runner's high ever in my life. In fact, I have the opposite, which is I used to, after college, I started jogging as my exercise. And I was doing road races. So I was doing like half marathons and stuff like that. And I always really hated it, but then it got worse and worse. Yes. Where I would come home and I would be like, oh my God, I'm going to faint. And I would lie down like sweaty in my sports bra, lie down wherever I happened to be. And I would wake up like 20 minutes, half an hour later. And I'm not going to say that I passed out because I wasn't like falling over and hitting my head on the floor. But I remember at one point, I woke up on my kitchen floor and I was like, I was like, something's gotta change. Oh, like, this no. can't be right. And I ended up going to a cardiologist because I was so afraid that I was, like, gonna die. And I...
Holy
apparently
shit.
What happens is when I exercise, when I stop exercising, all of my blood drops into my legs, and that is why I get faint, is that, like, you know, I've been pumping, and then it just goes whoosh.
Yeah.
And the cardiologist was like, like, first of all, just disgusted with me. And was like, no, there's nothing wrong with your heart. If you are feeling faint, just go to a wall and, like, put your legs up against the wall so that the blood can, like, literally rush back into your head. And I was like, or why don't I just stop exercising? That feels a little more A plus B equals C. Your solution, I feel like you're just speculating. So I stopped exercising for, like, I don't know, 5 years, and, you know, have really felt the consequences. But my sister and I have been doing this 3-mile loop around our neighborhood. I was going to ask you where you take the dog, whether you're staying in your neighborhood or if you are, you, is there, like, a green belt near you? Like, where do you take the dog?
Yeah, we usually go through the whole neighborhood. There's a big loop in our neighborhood, but we do have a park really close by, right next to Camino Real Park. So, and they have a dog park there, which
the concept of a dog park really upsets me because I am not super comfortable around dogs. And then the idea that you would take your dog and then there are, like, a bunch of other dogs and all they're there to do is, like, fight each other and, like, sniff each other. Is it not stressful to take a dog to a dog park?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is. If I see another, maybe another pit with, like, his balls still on, and then I get kind of nervous. Like, why isn't he neutered? But my dog, he's pretty submissive. Like, he won't be an instigator. He'll run around and run around, and then, like, if he feels threatened, he'll kind of just come by me or lay down. He won't, like, get into an actual brawl.
Got it.
With
I'm very proud of him.
Any other dogs?
That's sweet.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
Do you have any sort of, like, self-care regimen? Are you I say face mask, and I mean the kind where you put on and you look like Hannibal Lecter for a little bit. I don't mean face mask like,
oh my gosh,
wear a mask,
yeah,
in public. So are you a face mask person, bubble baths, bottle wine? Like, what's your wind down?
Maybe not face masks every day, but we do have a whole catalog of those things that we will do with the kids. Like, Harry will even put one on for a little while.
Yes!
Have you seen the animal ones where you kind of look like you have it? That's so weird! They're fun. The kids love those things. But I still take care of, like, wash my face every day, floss, brush my teeth. I still do all the self-cares. I might not shower till 1 a.m. or 1 p.m. the next day, but my nightly routine.
You do have lovely
maintained
teeth, so good job. We have been watching trash television, and that could mean a lot of different things to different people. But we made it through 15 seasons of Criminal Minds. Sorry, I can, like, hardly say that loud. So what's funny is we decided to watch it because the criteria was we wanted a long-running show. And I feel like there is some fear of death that is in there of, like, I can't not have something else happening in my life, even if it's Criminal Minds. But then I found out recently that it's like, a phenomenon, and the kids on TikTok are, like, obsessed with Criminal Minds. And I feel like it's ironic, and I appreciate that. There's no way that it can be ironic because that show is horrifying in so many ways. But I didn't find that out until after we had watched it. I feel like if I had known that there was some meta agreement that this show needed to be watched, I feel like I would have felt like I was part of something. I would have, like, you know, I'm, like, on the team. I'm on the Criminal Minds team. And instead, it was just us, like, screaming at the television, like, you idiot, he's right behind you. And then if we got too amped up, my mom would have to be like, it's just a TV show. And then we would, like, attack her for suggesting that it's just a show.
You're getting too emotional about it.
But for anyone who's not familiar, Criminal Minds, I think it's still on Netflix, but it's only 12 of the 15 seasons, and so they really get you, which is you have to, I think, subscribe to CBS All Access. I don't have cable, so we had to like pay for the final three seasons. Yeah, which was like it was like against seasons. God to pay for that show. The premise of the show is that the BAU, Behavioral Analysis Unit of the FBI, flies around on a private jet across America when they are called to the scene of either particularly grisly murders that are unsolved or the implication that there's some sort of serial killer type of activity. And I think the cost per case on this program is like $5 million per case. I mean, they're literally flying around in a private jet. The whole thing is just so preposterous that I can't dream of defending it to you other than to say 15 seasons gives you the sense that you are not alone in the world. I can't defend it. It's not good. It's not well acted. Everyone is welcome to fight me on this, but I've seen all of it, so I feel pretty confident that I would, I'm not going to say win the fight, but I'm not, it's not an uninformed opinion. Let's put it that way. I did the work.
You did the work.
Well, is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners as we close out this episode 2 of season 2? This is our golden episode, episode 2, season 2 of Garage Artois.
Woo! Oh, I love it. I know that you and I had talked about doing, I don't know the right words to describe it, but like, if any of our listeners felt that they have done someone dirty and want to talk about how to get sort of apologize or, you know, retribution for something they've done that might be naughty to, you know, a former friend or colleague or
BF
or DF.
This was your fantastic idea. And I think I have to guess that it came from just being contemplative during quarantine. And this idea of like, can we start again? And I think I had shared with you, there was this moment at the beginning of quarantine. So back in March, April, where everyone was on these very strict lockdown orders, at least in California, where I had this sudden sense that anybody could email anybody. Anybody could reach out to anybody. I was emailing friends who I hadn't talked to in years to see how they were doing. I was messaging people on LinkedIn who I'd never met. And, you know, in my industry, there were a ton of webinars and, you know, there were a lot of like live virtual events. And after that, I'd reach out to the people and be like, hey, great job. That was really fun. And they maybe thought I was psychotic, but I felt this opening up of people being willing to connect. And I think that's really what's behind what you're talking about, Marie, is this idea of like, you know, it's Garage Artois without the Trois. Our beautiful Courtney has not had the chance to get on one of these episodes yet. But now that we're recording them remotely, I can't wait for her wild card personality to come on in. Courtney, we miss you. But the idea that we could have a third person on to share, and maybe you and I go first, that would be brave. But I love this idea of just kind of opening up the universe to anybody can talk to anybody, even if it's someone who you might have had some beef with in the past or regretted how things ended. So we're going to put that open call out there. If you're feeling brave, there's actually a way for you on Anchor FM. If you're listening to us on Spotify, you can just hit a button. You can actually record audio for us and send us a message. So if you want to send us a message, reach out and we're here for you.
Ooh.
I love it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're so happy to have you. We're happy to be back. Episode 2, season 2, Garage Artois.
Woo!